Thank you for this night, Lord. I thank you for your presence and just the thought that we get to be just in your presence, God, that you've literally won the way for us to be here, God, and not just the ability, God, but the right. God, I thank you that we have the right to be in your presence, God, that you've made us new, God, just as believers, Lord, and you didn't just save us on day one, though. I thank you for salvation, but you're a continuous Savior, God. That character trait hasn't changed. And I thank you that you're teaching us, God, that you're teaching me, and that you're going to help us tonight just to understand or just be reminded that having a right idea and just a right perspective of who you are, God, and believing those things is just imperative, God, just to our daily lives. We just love you, God, and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. So this is the third time I've taught this, and it's still scary. So just be gentle, and if I need an Oreo, someone grab me one. But I want to share just a few things with y'all tonight, probably nothing you've never heard. Anyway, y'all get it. But I just want to talk about our idea of God or our belief of who God says he is. And it seems like such a, you know, if you're just thinking about that, such a basic topic, especially just looking around the room. I know all of y'all in this room, and it's like, of course you believe God. You're here because you're a believer and you believe in, but so many times in our daily lives, especially talking about this topic of cultivating these things, Carla wrote in that email letter to us in the beginning, she said, hope, joy, and peace. How can this be cultivated on a daily basis? How can the soils of our heart be a fertile place for these things to grow? And I've been thinking about this topic, and really the Lord's been teaching me these things personally for months, probably even over a year now, just in my own life about just my unbelief. You know, and I would love to stay in here and be like, you know, I've believed everything, and God is who he says he is, and I do, I believe him. So I'm not saying that I don't, but there's definitely been moments where God has just reminded me, like, he's still my Savior today. He's helping me with these things. He's transforming me. He's sanctifying me. He's doing all of these things as a work because that's who he said that he is. And Carla had sent me just an excerpt from a book, and actually used it in the little blurb that I put in our letter and in your booklets. But Tozer says, what comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. And I want you to think about that. Let's make it personal. What comes into your mind when you think about God is the most important thing about you? It's so important, y'all, who we believe God is, how we view God, our perspective of who he is. We know the truth. And honestly, I can pass this off to every person in this room probably, and we could each share, like, this is who God is because he's given us his word. And I want to stand on those things. I want to believe those things. I want to encourage myself in the Lord. I want to be encouraged by you. That's why it's so important to be in the body of Christ and to be active and participate, or participative, as I like to say, which is not a real word. And to be in these moments is because it encourages us to do these things, not just on our own, but it's like when I see Karen doing these things, it's like, oh, I needed that. I needed to see her do that because it's reminding me, God, this is who you said that you were. You are these things. It's not just promises on pages, it's experiences in our life. Like, I don't want to just make it to heaven. I tell our young adults this probably, they probably want me to stop saying it, honestly. I say it that much, but I don't want to just make it to heaven. I want to make it well. I don't want to just struggle. I want to struggle well, because the Bible says, like, we're going to hit things, we're going to hit battles, we're going to hit moments. And Paul struggled, but we love Paul because he struggled well. And Paul encourages us, not because he never faced anything, not because he didn't deal with sin, not because he did everything right, but because he had a right perspective of who God was. And I want that for myself. I want that for you. And I know God wants that for us because he's been teaching us. That's why I'm teaching this tonight. It's like, I need this more than anybody in this room. And he's like, all right, I'm gonna teach it to you. I'm going to let you teach it to others 3 times in a row. But it's because he's gentle with us. And he's kind with us. He's kind with me. He's gentle with me. He could have just, like, put me over something and just whooped the mess out of me. If he wanted to, like, he's God, he can do whatever he wants. But that's not what he did. He doesn't work like I work, and he doesn't work like you work. And aren't you glad? Aren't you, like, doesn't that put, like, a hope and excitement? Like, if that doesn't make us hope and excited and expectant, then I honestly don't know what would. In my own life and in yours, this is a God of the universe, and he's kind to me. Like, he's kind to you, and he doesn't have to be. He's gentle, and he's patient, and he's long-suffering, And he tells us those things because he knows, like, she's going to be a hot mess sometimes. And he teaches us to be gentle and long-suffering and patient with others because he knows, I'm going to teach her this by being this for her. And if we don't allow God to teach us those things, and if we don't allow those moments to lead us into his presence to where he can teach me that he really is kind, that he really is faithful, that he really is all of these things, then I will never be those things for you. This is a complete sidebar. I don't know how we got here, but it's just, it's so good. It is so good. I know God's faithful because I wrestle with faithlessness. And he's taught me, like, I'm not like you. My character doesn't change. Yours is all over the map. But I'm not. I am the map. He is the way. He doesn't change. His character isn't contingent on mine. It's not like I'm fickle one day, so his character is responsive to that. His character hasn't changed. And so let's turn to Mark 4:35. And so all of this tonight is just an encouragement to us, an encouragement to myself, is to not just remember who God says he is, but to believe. Carlos talked about that the first night too. It's like we have to believe God. And faith is literally just belief that he is, and hope is just the expectation that he's going to continue to be what he said he's going to be. And they're married up to one another. It's like you can't have one without the other. They both go hand in hand. And it's beautiful that he teaches us. It's like we can't faith without him. We can't hope without him, but he is those things, but we have to be responsive to him. The Holy Spirit, Jesus, the Trinity, Jesus is not going to pressure you to do anything. He's a gentleman. He's not going to make you accept something. He's not going to make you have intimacy with him. He's not going to make you do these things. It's a choice. He's given himself to us in his fullness. Everything we've ever needed, he says, I am, and leaves it blank. Oh, I love the blank. Aren't you glad he didn't finish that statement, like, I am, and, like, put something there? I know he tells us who he is in the Bible, but in that statement when he says that, he doesn't give a definitive answer because everything I need, everything you need is literally found in him. There's nothing you can come to him with, and he's like, oh, my gosh, that wasn't a character trait we built into ourselves. Like, Holy Spirit, what do we do? It's always been there. He's always been the answer to every need that we're going to have. Now, I'm going to read this to y'all really fast, but it's all of this is just, again, coming back to the right perspective of who God is, reminding ourselves who he is. So it stirs up faith. So it stirs up hope. So it stirs up peace and joy. All of these things are fruits of these things. But I had just written, how small is your God if your sin is too big for him? How basic is your God if you aren't thrilled by his wonders? How powerless is your God if your lack can limit your usefulness? How finite is your God's love if his character is contingent on yours? And I remember just the Lord, like, probing me and just asking me these questions, like, personally. Because, like, so many times we, you know, I can believe for Tanya. And we say, you know, people say this all the time, like, I can believe for her. You know, I'm going to knock down a mountain for her. But if I'm knocking down my own mountain, it's like, that's not going to happen. And it's just, it's a lot of times how we think, if we're just honest with ourselves and when we're honest with the Lord. And I could pray for Angie and believe for just the Lord to do miracles, and we are believing for those things. But it's like when I'm praying for something specific that I'm asking the Lord for, just desiring him for, it's like, I make him so tiny. And how small is God if I'm too big for him? Think about that. And he's not small. And if he's too small for you in any of those moments, you're not serving God. Like, you know, it's a different religion. Because the God of this Bible is not measured. He's measureless. He's uncontainable. He's unsearchable. But he's also containable in me and searchable because he lets us find him. I don't know what the fancy word for that is, but what of that? what of that? I don't know what the word is. Fancy word. I don't know. Anyway. I should have thought about that better before I said it. Anyway. Is he just does so many miracles and so many things in our life to where he really is just so wonderful. And I want to believe that he's bigger than me. I want to believe that he's, you know, condemnation is just a disbelief that God is actually who he says he is. It's just simple. Like, if I'm struggling with something, or I'm struggling with sin, and it's, or I've sinned and I've repented of it, and I feel like, oh God, I have to do 45, like I'm going to go witness to 17 people so I could like go to church on Sunday. Your God's too small. He's too small. My God is too small if that's the reality. And I love that he isn't that. Like, he's not too small. He's not powerless. Because the reality is, if his character is contingent on mine, he doesn't really have the power that we say he does. And so just think about that. When you're thinking about, you know, when you hit a moment or a situation where it feels too big or you feel too big, remind yourself that that belief is a false doctrine. Like, that belief is unbelief. And that moment can be given to the Lord immediately. Just say, Lord, I think one of my favorite verses in the Bible is, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief.
Yeah.
And it's because, and aren't you glad, like, Jesus is responsive to that? He didn't point out the man's unbelief when he said that. He responded to his belief. Isn't that good?
Yeah.
Like, he didn't respond to his unbelief. He responded to his confession of unbelief, but he did the work out of his belief.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that. I love that I can be honest with the Lord and honest with y'all and be like, y'all, I believe, or God, I believe, but will you help me where I'm struggling? Will you help me where I'm making me bigger than you?
Yeah.
And we don't think about it like that. We don't, it's like a false pride that we struggle with, but
mm-hmm.
I'm getting so off topic on so many things. But let's look at Mark 4:35. And everybody knows a story, and everybody can share about it. And so you're probably not going to learn anything new tonight, but the Lord just did really reveal some things I had just never really noticed or paid attention to that I just want to call out tonight. But it says, on that day when evening had come, he said to them, let us go across to the other side. And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was, and the other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and there were waves breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? And I just want to stop right there, but I was reading these verses the other day and thinking about the story, and the first thing that just stuck out to me in reading it is, it says, on that day when evening had come, I just never paid attention to that. Like, it's nighttime. It's not like a day trip on the boat across the sea. It's nighttime. And I don't know about you, but like my first thought of like when I want to take a boat ride, it's not right now on the ocean. It's just, let's go today. Like, when the other, did anybody go on the boat ride today? Okay, well, we'll skip that part. Anyway, is the nighttime just wouldn't be my first choice. But he says that, like, on that day when evening had come, he said to them, let's try to go across, get stuck in the middle, and get swamped by the waves. What does your version say? Let us go across to the other side. And I know that's a simple part of this, but honestly, something I've just glanced over every time. He's already told them what they're doing.
Yep.
I'm Jesus. I've already revealed myself to y'all. You're my disciples. You know who I am. You've seen me do other miracles. I know it's night, and this is the Sea of Galilee. So the Sea of Galilee is known. So if we just kind of shift our thoughts to like the culture of the day, they're fishermen. This is not new for them. Boats are not like some foreign land to them. This is their livelihood, some of them. But the Sea of Galilee was known for storms. So in their minds, they're probably thinking, all right, we're going to follow you, Jesus, but the probability of us hitting some waves along the way are most likely. But they get in the boat. But Jesus tells them, let's go across to the other side. And if you keep reading, it says in verse 38, but he was in the stern asleep on the cushion. And the word cushion just stood out to me. You're probably like, all right, that's a Caleb thing to say now. Like, what are you going to tell us about the cushion? And y'all just thought, and again, you can glean a lot of things from the scripture. So I'm just telling you what the Lord's been teaching me in it. And I just thought his rest was purposeful. He didn't just like nod off on the top of the boat while the boys are working the ropes and the cords, whatever they're called, and like all the things.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't just fall asleep up there, like take a little power nap like I do on just random spots. It was purposeful.
Mm-hmm. I'm
sorry. I do fall asleep in random spots. That's what the giggle was from my mother over here in the green. But it just was purposeful. He found a cushion and he went to sleep. Mm-hmm. He knew the storm was coming. The reality is he knew the disciples were going to do this. But, you know, a lot of times in our lives, and maybe you're not like me, and I pray you're not. I pray that this is like just, you know, just that you're not like me in this area. But there's definitely been times in my life where I've just thought in my heart, and even said it with my mouth at times, like, God, are you sleeping on me? Like, I know you see. I know you're my boat. I'm not questioning my salvation. I'm not any of these things. I'm not running from you. I'm not turning from you. But I am, my heart is struggling. Like, God, do you see? Like, do you see me? You sleeping on me, God? Like, I know you don't sleep, but maybe you do. Like, where are you at? It's just, there's just that in our heart. Like, Satan brings those thoughts into our mind. And if you're like me, you don't always walk in perfect belief with those things. And I'm thankful that the Lord can shift our perspective, but I do just want to take that just a little further for a second. And it says, the disciples ask him, teacher. And again, it's personal. They know him. This is not like coming to somebody that they don't know. It says, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? God, don't you see us? And I just want to put this thought into your mind is what if Jesus wasn't sleeping on the disciples and he was sleeping on Satan? Think about that. What if he is teaching the disciples, like, hey, you have never known power like this. You've never known love like this. I'm going to do things in these next few years of our lives, and you're going to follow me, and you're going to see things you've never seen before. And they're going into a boat that they're used to getting on. They're going into a sea that they're used to hitting waves on. And suddenly, there's a man on their boat that's sleeping in the middle of it. What? Mm-hmm. Who is this man? Like, I'm thinking about the story inside a different perspective in these past few weeks, and I'm thinking, why weren't they like, oh my gosh, why are you sleeping? Mm-hmm. Y'all, he's sleeping down there. And instead of getting mad and frustrated, like, hey, Jesus, don't you know? Hey, do you feel the waves, right? Like, it's wavier down there. Wavier, is that a word? It's more rough down there. Rougher, whatever. Don't out there. But, like, don't you see us? Don't you feel the waves? What if one of them would have said, oh my gosh, he's sleeping. He is sleeping. We get to sleep on boats with waves now. We get this life. Yeah. They didn't do that. I don't do that. You probably don't do that all the time. And it's don't let it be a condemnation. Let it be a sweet conviction. Like, oh, I serve the God that I get to sleep on boats and waves with now. He's not sleeping on me. Like, we're all about to sleep on Satan. Satan, you want to throw the waves? Go ahead. I'm resting with Jesus. He pulled up a cushion. Jesus, there are a few more cushions down there. Like, pull up a cushion and rest. I just had never seen that story like that. And the ability and the privilege for us to be able to rough Satan up a little bit, and the fact that we just get to simply believe God is who he says he is. He said, get in the boat, let's go across the other side. There's wind, there's waves, it doesn't make sense. God, do you see me? But you said that you were God, you're here, you're sleeping on a boat that I've never seen a man sleep on before when the waves are like this. Surely this is our new life. But they don't do that. And y'all, I want to live like that. I want to live where my first thought is, oh my gosh, a miracle is going to happen in this moment. But we don't always do that. A lot of times we see the other piece of it, like, God, don't you see me? And God's like, don't you see me? Like, I'm sleeping in the middle of the waves. Don't you see me? Don't you know that what I said is true? Will you believe me? We have the perspective that actually says, oh God, I don't get it, but you said it, so let's go for it. Pull up a pillow. Boys, we're taking a nap. Tell the waves we'll be back in a half hour. Let me know when the sun's shining. And it's not that the waves would have necessarily stopped if they would have done that. But they would have made it to the other side. And I want to live like that, y'all. And I want to just tell y'all, share a story with y'all too of, y'all know me. Most of y'all in here know me well. So y'all know the Lord just teaches me in very basic, sometimes ridiculous ways because I'm very simple-minded. But I help Christy a lot at the Hill, just with running like the weddings or just working the weddings and stuff like that. And this is the little canister from the Hill. And we had a wedding a few weeks ago, don't know, how long have you had these things? I tried it.
A few months, maybe 2 months.
Okay. Had them for a little while, right? We've had a few events where we've used them, but at the last event that we had, we were using it after a wedding, or during the wedding, in the reception. And it's really complicated to get a coffee cup under. In fact, we use them at church for donuts on Sundays. So if you know, like, the coffee cup doesn't, we gotta put it at the end, and not have the napkin on the ground, and it's like, what are we doing? And all of these things, and it's just unfortunate, right? We had done something like this. Like, what if we put it, a little higher? I was about to say, I'll have to use that. We're like, maybe we'll do that. And then it's like, all right, well, now you're in front of like 20 people trying to fix a problem, and you're just creating more problems. Then you just look ridiculous. And so the whole time, we're trying to fix it, whatever. We just work out something where it's working enough to work, but it's not a pleasant experience. And so at the end of the night, there's still a few people there, and I'm washing the thing, dumping it out, and I'm like stuck around the sink. It's like one of those big sinks or whatever. And all of a sudden, this leg pops out.
That's great.
And I literally, y'all, it's like first date material when you like know he's the one. It's like, oh my gosh. Like, it just was like this giddy moment of like, there's legs. There's legs on this thing. And I just really, Christy was there, because I literally ran to the front of the entire house where her, John, and their entire 100 people family now. And I was like, y'all, this thing has legs. Put all the other things up we tried to use. It's got legs. And it just made me so happy. It's still making me so happy. When I got to church Sunday, I was like, y'all, use the legs. It's got legs. It's got legs. Can't put it on other things. And it just is so much smoother of a process. Don't you wish there was coffee in here?
Yes.
I did too. But the Lord really used this in my life. And I love this little coffee canister. Because and I put it on y'all's bookmark, which when you got the bookmark, you're probably like, what a weirdo. She put an entire canister of coffee on it.
Not a coffee cup.
But he's there. She's there.
He really did.
And she got legs. And so, anyway, what the Lord just really showed me, even that night at the sink by myself, before I ran to the front of all these people, like shouting about the legs, is they were always here. The other events we had done where we just really tried to figure something out, legs were always there. Legs were always there. It's like, they've been here, y'all. Like, they're always there. But y'all, we do this with the Lord. I do this with the Lord. I'll make it personal. He's never changed. The statement I said earlier where it's like, I am, and this just open-ended. He's always been everything I've always needed. Now, if you'd have read the directions first day, them legs would have been being used first day. We had a few trial and error moments to get to there, which I'm thankful for. And that's a great point, too, that I hadn't really thought about. It's like so many times we struggle with different things or get to points, and it's like, ugh. Wish I didn't have to go through this. But then it's like the leg pops out the sink, and like there's this huge giddy moment where it's like, I love Jesus. And it's just bliss. And sometimes the Lord just lets us experience things to remind us, like, I've always been everything you've needed. Isn't that good?
After service, we're going to have a wedding, Kayla and the coffee.
Oh, Lord, let it be a real wedding with a real man. 35, good job. Love the Lord. Blue eyes, dark hair. Anyway. Who's that? Anyway, we're getting heavily distracted. Let me get back on, or I'm really going to start getting hot. I don't know what y'all said, but...
She's 35.
Did I say?
No.
It doesn't matter.
Go on.
Oh, 53, yeah. You can have Big J. Anyway, y'all, it's always been here. And I think about, like, God is everything he's always promised. And the crazy part about the situation with us is... It would be absolutely foolish for us to have... I think we probably got 2 or 3 different things for the table that I had to try to put under this thing to make it work well. But if we would have read the directions the first day and then the legs were here, how ridiculous would it have been for us to not use the legs? Mm-hmm. Exceptionally ridiculous. Like, right. Far beyond ridiculous. Hey, use the legs! Like, it's
so much easier. Just so much smoother. But
we have read the directions. I read the directions. I know who he says that he is. I know his character. You know his character. You know what he's promised. You know what he's told us. You know what he's told you personally. Personal just promises to you. I know those things. And it's like sometimes we are just, by choice, which is convicting to me, we are fumbling through life. Ugh. And it's just messy and it's dirty and it's not the best witness. And not that God can't use it, because I love that God just reminded me, literally, as I'm teaching this, like, we don't always do it right. We don't. My life is a prime example of this. I don't always do it right. But it's like that moment of understanding, oh, the legs are here. Like, I literally acted a fool. Ran through the house to the front of the room. Was like, y'all. It just something came over me where I just didn't care. Like, y'all gotta see the legs. Like, they're here. And God can use those things. So I just would encourage you, like, don't get bound up in the fact that maybe you haven't always done this perfectly, and you're not going to. That is why he says to stir ourselves up, to hope, to believe, to all of these things. It's cultivate. Like, cultivate isn't just like, hey, throw the seed down and let me know when the sunflowers rise. Like, there's tilling, there's working, there's all these different things. But I want to believe that God is who he says that he is. And when a moment comes up where fear just wants to grip me, I want to remember, oh, God, I've got legs. I've got your everything. Lord, everything that I need in this moment is here. And I love this thought, too, is as I'm using what God has given me, it's like when fear comes up, it's like, God, thank you that you are just my provision. Thank you that you've given me your Holy Spirit to overcome it. Thank you that I'm more than a conqueror in you. And it's like Satan throws something at me and I'm like stumbling to reach the third leg. It's like, oh God, I believe, but we hum unbelief. And then Angie sees me struggling and she stands up and she comes and helps me with the third leg. And it's like, that's what the body of Christ is for. That's why I need you. That's why you need me. That's why going to church and just being a part of each other's life is so just special. Is we could, the Lord doesn't need us. He can teach us these things on our own, but the fact is he chooses to use us for each other's lives. And I want to be that for you. I want you to be that for me. And y'all have been. I've been through just things in my life, even this past year and 6 months, and just different things and transitions where I've really battled these things. Well, I'm teaching it 3 times in a row. It's like, this is not just the teaching. Carla was like, hey, can you teach this? It's like, God's been putting this in me because I believe, Lord, help my unbelief. And I want that for us. And I want, as we're going through these, well, we're finished with the sessions because this is the last one, but just even as we go back to worship tonight, to think about the things that you've been learning in the other sessions and what Carla said the first night. And who do you believe God is? She said that the first night or last night. One of the main things she used to ask people is, who do you believe that I am? God's so important. It's so important. And I know that we believe the scriptures, but I want to be a follower that says, oh, he's sleeping on the boat. That means it's possible to sleep on the boat. Like, he's told us that it's possible to do, it's possible to struggle and struggle well. And so it's not that we don't go through things. It's not that we don't face things. It's not that we're not honest with the Lord. And I hadn't shared this last night, but I just was thinking about it. I was able to share it in this last session, but you know, in my own personal life, like, God has been just engrafting these things into me and teaching me through a lot of just failure, to be honest. Like, I haven't done any of this that I'm telling you tonight correctly. But it's like I'm learning. He's teaching me. And it's like he's teaching me this moment, and it's making me fall more in love with him and understand, like, God, thank you that your character doesn't change because mine is all over the place. I'm not too big for you. You're not too small to handle me. Like, I don't scare you. You're not like, oh my gosh, she's unbelieving again. It's an opportunity to prove himself, and he does every single time. And a few months ago, just before even just some transitions in my own, like, big transitions of just changing jobs and different things, I really just had a day with the Lord, just being honest with him and telling him, like, God, I'm tired of hoping. I'm tired of, wow, that was, shall I see that? Praise the Lord. I was being honest with him, like, God, I need you to help me. Like, I believe, help my unbelief. I'm just tired. I don't know what to do with all of these things. And it just was about some stuff with work and just different things. And even just my own unbelief in that moment. It's like at some of my weakest moments, God has really brought some really beautiful testimonies. In an hour, we're going to baptize one of my coworkers who got saved the last day I left my old job. And it has nothing to do with me. In fact, it's really a miracle that proves that God is real. Because if he can still use me in a season where it's like, I'm flailing around trying to figure out what my name is. And he can still do things through that. What a testimony. But I don't want to live in such a way where, I was telling the last group this too, is if I tallied up how many times I've expressed my struggle as opposed to victories or testimonies, the tallies would lend itself in the direction of the struggles. And y'all, it's so imperative for us to remind each other of, hey, like, I mean, think of a stupid example. Like, I need a parking spot at Target today. And I got the front row. Like, something stupid. Or something really magnificent. Like, I had wonderful test results today. Or I had this. Or I had that. Or a girl got saved on the last day when I leave my job. And I thought all this was going to go crazy. But it went wonderful. And the girl literally gives her life. She's on a ladies retreat. She's going to get baptized tonight. Like, what? But it's like, how many times have we shared those things? Not out of pride, because it doesn't have anything to do with us. It really magnifies God, if we're honest. Like, we all know each other. The more we get to know each other, the more we realize, like, that's definitely a miracle. Like, praise God. Like, you know what I mean? It just really glorifies the Lord with it. But I want to be somebody, and this is convicting to me even just teaching this, because I hadn't thought about it before I started teaching, is I want to be somebody who really glorifies God. Not that we don't share our struggles. Not that we don't share our burdens, because that is what God created the church for. We would have never known the story about them holding up Moses' arms if it wasn't a place where, hey, I literally can't hold my arms up. And the only way I'm going to win is if my arms are up. So I'm going to need some help. And isn't that beautiful? But it's also beautiful when we get to share in those joys and those victories and those things. And that stirs us one another up to love and good works, to believe God. Like, oh, he really is who he says he is. Because if one of those disciples would have said, he is sleeping. He's so different. Like, we're following this man. They called him teacher. It was a moment to be taught, and they just overlooked it. Like, he's teaching us something. Do y'all see it? If one of them would have said that, I almost guarantee the entire group would have found the cushions. And I want us to be that for each other. Like, oh, don't you? And we are, but I want us to be it more. Like, and I want to be like that for y'all, because I'm not all the time. Let's stir one another up. Let's build one another up. Like, build the testimonies. Build the kingdom of God. Struggle well. Have the right idea of God so that we can remind Satan, he's not sleeping on, Jesus is not sleeping on me. He is sleeping on you, and I'm going to sleep with him. I don't think like that. Maybe you do. Praise the Lord if you do. Pray for me. Call me. Pray for me. But I want to believe like that. And what an exciting thing that we can. There is no requirement except belief. And that is a lot more simple than we make it sometimes. And I want to be like that. And I want to let the Lord convict me and free me and not live in those things. And God, I don't always have the right idea of you. Will you remind me who you are? Will you remind me that everything I need, it says that on your bookmark, that I can't find, which is so tiny, I know. They'll be bigger next time. He's everything he promised, abound and overflow. He doesn't just give in. He's not just enough. He's always more than enough. Every scripture he talks about with himself, it's always an abundance. It's always an overflow. It's always extra. He is extra. Aren't you glad that his extra is more extra than my extra? And yours too? And it's just so good. Like, what a thrilling life. What a thrilling piece of it. Now I want to read Romans 15:13 again, just as we wrap up. Let me get to it. It says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope." Like, all of those words in there it's like all joy. All peace, abound in hope. It's not like a limited, confined, you ask and I'm going to give you just what you need. It's overflow. And I just love that about the Lord. I love that he can do this in us. But y'all, he is asking us those things. Do you believe me? What comes into your mind when you think about God is the most important thing about you in every moment? What I think about God when fear is gripping me, what I think about God when I get a diagnosis that I didn't know was coming, what I think about God when I'm facing a situation with a lost loved one, all you fill in the blank. Like, what I think about God in that moment is the most important thing about me right then. And I want to believe him. And not just believe him, but I want to use what he's given me. Nothing about this whole situation changed other than me actually using it for what it was created to be used for. So its character didn't change. The use of its character changed. Does that make sense? And I just want that for us. But I am going to kind of wrap up, but I do want to open it. Does anybody have anything to add to that, share, or even if it's from another session from this weekend in general?
I was texting Caleb right before the retreat about just a situation that I was going through, and he just showed me just what it means to believe, and he showed me what it means to allow him to teach us about that, like the power in it. And something that he spoke to me was in Luke, this is a story of Peter in his denial of Christ, when Jesus told Peter, you're going to fail, but he said, but I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. And he related that verse to like this one that we're meditating on, we're studying, we're like praying, we're asking the Lord for. Belief is a powerful thing, and Jesus becomes our belief. He told Peter, I have prayed for you so that when you believe, you'll strengthen your bodies when you believe. And that was just so beautiful to see that. And it brought me so much joy. It brought me all the things, the hope, the abounding in hope, the peace. And just, it was like God just brought that to my remembrance. It was like, I knew you were going to fail this week. I knew you were going to fail. I spoke that to you. But I also spoke to you the power in belief, the power in his joy, the power in his hope, so that when you fail, I can be your hope. I have given it to you over abundance, in extra. There's no end to it. Absolutely no end to it. And that's who he is to all of us.
Got about 2 minutes left. Anyone else want to share? Yeah, and then we'll head back.
The Lord's been teaching me a lot in the area of like unbelief and the significance of just the blood of Jesus. And like, his, a lot of times I think that we equate his attributes with his characteristics, or we like say like his characteristics are like love, joy, peace, but like he is love. Mm-hmm. He is joy, and he like is all of these things, and like characteristics change. Like one day I can be bubbly, and another thing, like another day I can like just want to like go like just have a day of myself, you know. Mm-hmm. But Jesus is like, he's never changing. Mm-hmm. You know, and my unbelief, like, you know, we pray like, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Mm-hmm. Like you're saying, but a lot of times there's a subcategory of like unbelief, the significance of his mm-hmm. blood, and the unbelief in his blood in itself. Mm-hmm. And the significance of it, it's like we are washed free in it. Mm-hmm. And if we don't believe in the blood of Jesus, then like we're saying, like we are making him so small. Mm-hmm. Because our blood is not more righteous than his. And so when we do that, like it's like we end up like not only putting our sin above, like, him, but also others, so that other sins can affect our lives so heavily. And I feel like that's, like, been, like, a personal thing in my life. It's, like, I've been hurt in a lot of areas, and so, like, it's, like, others' sins, like, the Lord has, like, shown me by his grace. Mm-hmm. Like, that's just sin. Mm-hmm. And he hates it because he loves us. Mm-hmm. And so just, like, knowing the significance of the blood mm-hmm. of Jesus, because that's where our identity and authority is. Mm-hmm.
So. You know, he's consistently consistent.
Mm-hmm.
He's always good. He's always faithful. And we do. I want to believe him, like you're saying, in grace. And we're going to go just to a time of just worship. And this, you know, it's heavy because it's like, God, I want to do these things. But it's also so, let it encourage you. Let it excite you. Let it be like, oh, there's legs. Like, we're excited about, like, let's go forward and make use. I'm saying this myself. I'm going to need this in a few hours. And be like, okay, I got to listen to what I'm telling these, all these people. That's now I'm accountable to this. And I want to be. I want to be. But let's just pray. And we're going to go just to a time of worship. So I just ask, you know, that we just kind of head over there. I think the other group's already over there. But God, we thank you for your presence. Father, we thank you that you are just so other than us.
Mm-hmm.
That you're not like me, God. You're not inconsistent,
mm-hmm.
but you're faithful, God. Even when we're faithful, so Lord, I thank you that you have given us the power to be faithful.
Mm-hmm.
Or that we don't have to live in faithlessness or unbelief or any of these things, God. But you've given us the ability to encourage ourselves in you, God, and to allow our hearts just to be just that soil of our lives to be broken up and useful for you, God. Would you teach us those things, God? I thank you that you're gentle with us, Lord, that you are teaching us. Give us eyes to see, Lord. Give us eyes to see in our own situations personally, Lord. God, if we're on that boat, Lord, even just in our own lives, Lord, that we would see the power that you've given us in the midst of the storm. And even if the storm doesn't change, God, you've given us the ability to be with you and to follow you, God. And you told us you were going to get us to the other side, God. And there's nothing that comes against us that can hurt us other than just our own unbelief. So, God, we just go into this time of praise and just worship just to remind ourselves and just the joys of being able to confidently say that you are our God and Lord, that we believe you. And we thank you, God, in Jesus' name.
Amen.